I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Elizabeth Dutton.
Yes, sir.
You know what's ridiculous?
Yes.
What?
That T.S. Eliot, the poet, dusted his face with green powder. Like, just for the day-to-day.
I don't understand. Are you saying like it was makeup, or more like Ben Franklin liked to take air baths? Like, what do you mean?
No, like makeup.
So he left the house this way.
Yeah, you want to know why he did it?
I'm afraid to ask, but yes.
He wanted to look interesting.
I don't understand.
It's ridiculous.
It's definitely ridiculous.
I delivered. You asked, I delivered.
There's such a low bar for interesting that he just cleared. I mean, like, I put green stuff on my face. That's interesting, T.S. That's really interesting.
I'm going to Hulk out.
Don't let anybody see that dog crap over there. We don't want to see what he does with that to get more interesting.
It's about to get really interesting.
So there's something even, I don't want to compare them. Let's just say there's something that's also ridiculous.
Oh, yeah?
Know what it is?
I would love to know what that is.
Imagine a turkey, a wild turkey, doing its best impression of Godzilla in the middle of Oakland, California.
That's ridiculous.
Right?
That's
promise.
That's totally ridiculous.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous. Now, as I promised Elizabeth, we're going to be talking about a Godzilla-style turkey. Now, it didn't grow huge, but it had...
So it's a normal-sized turkey.
Normal-sized, like legit, no radioactivity, did not come out of the sea.
Okay.
The Godzilla part is its love of chaos and scaring people. It liked to see people flee from it. Yeah, right? I was shocked by this story because I'm not from here. The turkeys I know of are actually more like, like in Davis, where I grew up, we have wild turkeys. But they're on the street. They wander around. They're fun. Tourists look at them. People on bikes try to avoid them. They don't do Godzilla impressions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your Oakland turkeys, y'all got some different kind of turkeys down here. Picture this. Oakland, California, in the early days of the pandemic 2020, a monster emerges. He's a response to, human intervention in his home environment. Now, his campaign of terror is, it's unrelated to the virus. It has nothing to do with COVID. This is not a COVID monster per se. But COVID is why this beast turns aggressive. Now, I don't know how Godzilla came about other than like nuclear proliferation. There's no nuclear proliferation in this story. But yet, It's human intervention that makes this animal lose its ever-loving mind. So it seems that this monster feeds not on, like, blood, but more so fear. It absolutely loves to terrorize the people of Oakland. Its favorite targets were older women, small children, anything low to the ground, slow moving. This is what he goes for now, right?
Coward.
Now picture the monster just desirous of people running from its claws, terrified of its lacerating beak, its high kicks. Now,
kicks.
Oh, yeah. It's like a, you know, like a Rockette, but with a murderous desire, right? Now, this monster is much like how, you know, how humans would flee from Godzilla. That seems to be what motivates this monster, this desire to see humans flee in terror.
The power of it.
But this monster is far more domestic than Godzilla, because this monster, and his name is Gerald the Turkey.
Gerald.
Jerry the Turkey. Now, do you remember when this hit social media in Oakland?
I do.
What do you remember about Gerald the Turkey when he first started popping off?
It was a quintessential East Bay event in that you had different factions that immediately formed.
Mm-hmm.
And that the epicenter of the discussion was Nextdoor, the app.
Nextdoor. Facebook for snitches.
Right. As you know, I'm a big fan of Nextdoor. I'm a Nextdoor lurker.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I find it high entertainment.
Now, what about the entertainment of, like, Oakland, Berkeley, Nextdoor really does it for you?
I think it's the fact that someone will post something, whether innocuous or not, and you're always about one or two replies away from a political fight. And
wasn't that pretty much all social media at this time?
I don't do the whole Facebooking thing. Oh, okay. And so I imagine it's akin to that. But everyone has their agenda and they insert it into whichever topic is presented. And so it seems like right now the big topics of the day are catalytic converter theft,
mm-hmm.
which brings out Second Amendment issues every time. People saying they just opened fire on the,
you just need a gun. Yeah. Let them know.
Because it's, you know, it's property versus a human life. Which one wins? Well,
property.
Property. God bless America. Then you also have bikes versus cars. So a lot of complaints about bike lanes and lack thereof or too many.
No, are there ever cars complaining about the cyclists?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You got everybody.
So it's both sides. Everybody's going at each other both sides. Now imagine that, but throw in a turkey.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody knows what to do about Gerald the Turkey.
No.
So in the before times, right, Gerald used to be this beloved figure. Like he was like a Rose Garden, like not a star, but people would go there and anticipate seeing him. Or in the morning, he would wander out of the Rose Garden and stand on the street with some of the commuters. There's like all sorts of photos of him just standing there sunning himself. So he was originally a beloved figure of the garden.
Right.
Something changes. What changes? Well, it turns out it's human beings. Us, we changed. So in 2020, the locals, they start noticing that Gerald is no longer acting like himself. Something has changed in the bird, right? And everybody's like, well, it started with like, he just didn't look right. And then you start getting these tales of attacks, right? Oakland Side is a local blog that covers like, you know, East Bay politics, East Bay's culture and so forth. They did a number of stories about Gerald. And this comes from Oakland Side. A local, Alexis, recounted to the news outlet that she had to basically defend this older woman she saw in the park, quote, until she was forced to climb a tree to escape. Not Alexis Morgan, the old lady.
The old lady had to scale a tree.
Exactly. Imagine an old lady sitting there, like, just clambering up a trunk and clutching for her life, afraid of a wild turkey. That's how scary Gerald the Turkey is.
Well, I mean, I think part of the thing, wasn't it that the Rose Garden was closed because of COVID? Like, all the public areas.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's
so what were these people doing up in there?
That's the question. Right. So, you see, as soon as pretty much the pandemic hit, Oakland decides, you know, let's close public areas, public spaces, as everybody did across the country, largely, at least in responsible states. And nobody was supposed to be in the Rose Garden. Of course, nobody listened to the signs. So people kept showing up. And strangely enough, this is what sets Gerald off. It's like he becomes a super cop. He's like, y'all ain't supposed to be here. And so he's going to scare everybody out. I don't know if that's his bag, but it seems like
it. I like it.
You know, something switches, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he starts throwing out kangaroo kicks. He's coming up with, like, he has a beak, right? He's a big Tom. He's about, like, you know, 3, 2.5 feet tall. So when he's coming at people, he's coming at, you know, thigh high and with a beak. So people are worried about, like, femoral arteries. And, you know, like, there's concerns is what I'm saying, right? So now, when he went and attacked Alexis Morgan, who was defending that old lady whose name we don't know, he left on her all sorts of scratches and bruises on her thighs, right, as good evidence. Now, she's just one person. Here I'm going to pull from a couple social media posts. Now, do you remember any of your favorite Nextdoor posts about Gerald?
My favorite social media posts about Gerald had to do with the debate over whether he was entitled to attack people or not.
That is so Oakland and Berkeley. It's
right,
amazing.
Right.
It's in his natural environment.
Sure.
He's being a turkey. We are the interlopers, essentially, is the argument, right? But then if you go, wait, we're the animals too, then how do you manage? It's all of our territory.
Right.
All right. So keeping that in mind, I'm going to read to you a couple of my favorite quotes from Nextdoor and Facebook posts. You ready?
Got it.
Okay. So this is from Jean, and she starts her post out with the great grabbing, attention-grabbing line, I was attacked by a wild turkey! Exclamation point. Okay, here we go, Jean. Yesterday, I was strolling in the Morcombe Rose Garden when a turkey came very close to me. I just kept walking when he suddenly attacked me with his feet and wings. I was so shocked. I tried to get away from him, but he followed and attacked me several more times. There were a few other people around, but nobody seemed to know what to do. A man near me was trying to shoo it away with not much luck. Finally, a man who works or volunteers there came over and scared it away. He thinks the turkey is being protective of his harem of four turkeys. He has attacked other people. I assume she means the turkey and not the Rosarian. But anyway, moving on. I was badly shaken up. I had no idea turkeys did that. I had a huge lump on my hand, and when I got home, I noticed bruises on my body. I like the wild turkeys living in the Rose Garden, but from now on, I will have my cane with me, and maybe an alarm siren as well. Has anyone else had this experience?
A cane and an alarm siren.
Like, what's he going to do? Beat the hell out of that turkey? Like, all right, I'm going to teach you some respect, Tom.
Right?
Although, sorry, a Tom is a name for a male turkey. Gerald is his government
name. Gerald the Tom.
Yeah. Now, this is an exchange where people are giving each other advice about what to do. Because as Gene asked, what should we do? Well, people, being social media, they jumped in with their offered help. Now, we have, this is from Anne Marie. She says, the male turkey is very aggressive. Once he puffs out his tail feathers, run. My boyfriend and I have escaped harm from this turkey only because we are spry. I've seen others intentionally provoking this turkey. It is not smart. Now, Carol comes in and responds, I tried to warn a mother standing near the tom with her little girl. She said angrily, I'm a very good mother. A few minutes later, her little girl was weeping in fear. The turkey had attacked. He is indifferent to good mothers.
Oh my God, that's my favorite one.
Right? A turkey who is indifferent to good mothers.
I am a very good mother, thank you.
Yeah, toms don't care about your mother and
meanwhile,
lady.
The kid is just getting tuned up by this turkey.
Yeah, exactly. It all ends in tears
kids
and feathers.
Bleeding from the ear. I'm a very good mother.
She's going to be telling the doctor that at the ER. I am a very good mother.
I'm doing the best I can. No, you're not.
And then finally, we have from Rosalind another piece of advice about how to deal with a Gerald the turkey attack.
I was in the Rose Garden for a short time last night, and I saw the same turkey chasing multiple women around near the flat entrance. It really did seem like he was stalking particular people and would only leave one alone once he set his sights on another person. He routinely walked past me without coming near, but perhaps he was scared or confused by the bikes we had sitting next to us.
Oh, Rosalind, the turkey whisperer.
Sounds like Rosalind's a little upset the turkey didn't attack her.
She craves that attention.
She's like, what's wrong with my legs? Why aren't you come over here and beak bashing me?
Well, she has the bikes on the ground near hers for quick getaway.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's I like Rosalind the turkey whisperer.
Everyone else was getting attacked, but not me because he could sense my energy.
He sensed the purity of my animal spirit, and I am aligned with his.
Her turkey chakra?
She opened up her turkey chakra. So basically, Next started Facebook go on like this for months. It's people saying, I was attacked. Another person comes in, well, you should get a stick. Another person goes, no, it's the turkey's place to live. Nobody should have a stick. And it goes on like this. You saw it. Mm-hmm. Did you think that any of it was surprising?
No, not at all. Because like I said, any kind of issue that gets put forward there, it's tribal in terms of everyone's mm-hmm. got, and everyone had their interest in this as well, that you had the COVID scolds who were like, you know what, you're not supposed to be in there. So
it's your fault.
You wouldn't get attacked by a turkey if you were following the rules and not in there. Other people are like, look, I just need to get out in the sun. I need to walk around. I'm going nuts here. I don't know.
No, yeah. It's just spot on. I think that's, everybody had their own agenda and they all felt their own agendas were righteous and correct.
Correct.
So you get this, like, the expected Berkeley nonviolence types. And then you get, like, the people who are, like, about individual rights, who are like, I have the right to do this because I need sunlight, right? And you're mm-hmm. like, how are you going to argue? They need sunlight. So now, if you think about it that way, obviously the real problem is the human beings. It's not Gerald the turkey. But Gerald is our monster, and Gerald is the one terrifying everybody. So the question is still what to do with Gerald and not all of the human beings.
Yeah, let's talk about Gerald.
Yes. So we'll get back to Gerald in one sec after we take this short break.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so we have Gerald the Turkey terrifying people in Oakland, the people in Oakland terrifying each other on social media, arguing about what to do about Gerald. And now the question becomes, who knows what to do? Who would you suggest knows what to do in a situation with a wild turkey terrifying, you know, well-meaning people?
Oh, wow. I guess animal services? Would you call animal services for something like that?
That would be a good call. Eventually, we do get to animal services, but first, we have a local who has known Gerald for a long time, and he's basically trying to say what the problem is, and so he is the Rosarian of the garden. He knows Gerald a long time, so basically, we have a spokesperson for Gerald. Now, what do we think the Rosarian's going to say? Which side is a Rosarian going to take? Is he the side of Gerald the Turkey, leave him alone? Is he the side, everyone should be able to come to the Rose Garden, we need to get Gerald to come to heal? Where does he go?
This is a longtime associate of Gerald's, so... Mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting because he's seen how Gerald was before. Mm-hmm. He sees how Gerald is at that time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Rosarians, those who are really just into the cultivation of roses are a complex and dynamic group.
Very true. And hard to paint them with one brush.
You really can't.
So the Rosarian says, quote, I've noted next door post stating, quote, the only reason that Tom is attacking is because he is provoked. Or, quote, because you tried to take a selfie with him. Or, quote, a turkey won't attack unless you were too close to his hens and chicks. This may have some merit in some cases, but I assure you that is not the case with this Tom. To those who are posting this misinformation, it might be wise to delete such posts. I fear such posting might lull an innocent person to risk attack.
He's to delete the post.
Oh, yeah. Never post. In the San Francisco Chronicle, there is the director of Oakland Animal Services, Ann Dunn. So she comes in and basically tries to calm the public because now we have the Rosarian not helping and we have somebody, some authority figure who's outside of the park who's going to bring some peace to Oakland.
Now, the Rosarian is saying that he sees that he says Gerald's being provoked. People are trying to take selfies with him, which is just incredible and so spot on. Or that he was close to the hen and chicks. Someone else talked about a harem of turkeys. But he's saying it's not the case. Does he want to share with us what the case is? Is he just saying, look, I'm Gerald's closest confidant, and it's none of your damn business why he's doing what he's doing.
I'll leave it this way. The Rosarian will show back up in this story in just a little bit with a very interesting wrinkle as to the Gerald debate.
Aha, okay.
But first, we have an authority figure who jumps in now that the Rosarian has basically said, you guys don't know what to do. Well, somebody has to know what to do. So we have Ann Dunn, director of Oakland Animal Services. And she basically says, look, I can't do anything. My hands are tied, y'all. Like, that's not going to help, Ann. But the reason is very simple. The city of Oakland doesn't have jurisdiction over wild turkeys. It just is not part of the city mandate. So they have to turn to the state level of wildlife management. So they go, because California state law requires that humans seek a way for citizens and animals to share the municipality before resorting to, quote, removal or termination options.
Just get along.
So basically they're saying, why can't we all get along? It's the Rodney King rule.
Work it out.
Work it out, people. Come on.
We're all in the same gang.
So Anne Dunn is like, you know, basically hoping that nature will correct this problem. It's going to be like its own self-balancing issue. Of course, Anne is wrong. Apparently, Anne is not on social media. So she basically cites that this is probably just a temporary thing. It's a breeding issue. And then once we get out of mating season, Tom's, you know, his pheromones and hormones will calm down and everything will go back to the way it was.
Okay.
Mating season comes, mating season goes, Tom keeps attacking. No hope, no change in Tom's behavior. So what do we now do with the saga of Gerald the Turkey? It's becoming a bigger and bigger story. Now the newspaper, the San Francisco Chronicle, is writing about it. It's starting to become a national news story. People have been taking to Twitter and sharing people who are actually, you know, in the park, in the Rose Garden, getting attacked. Those start to go viral. So Gerald is now becoming something of a national sensation. So you can't just remove or shoot him. So you have to come up with a reasonable answer to this monster. And it's still Northern California. So
keep that in mind.
Now, while Gerald is terrorizing the citizens, this goes on for months and months. And nobody knows what to do. And people are now still desperate to get to the Rose Garden. So they decide, you know what? The California Department of Fish and Wildlife say, we have the authority to do one thing to protect this bird. We can't necessarily decide to remove him. We can't necessarily decide to terminate him. But we can close the park. So they say, temporary closure of the Rose Garden to everybody. Get out.
Wow.
Yep. Pool's closed. So I'll read you a selection from the CDFW statement, their quote, update to temporary closure of the Morcom Rose Garden. Now, the Oakland Department of Parks, Recreation and Youth Development, Department of Public Works, and the Oakland Animal Services, all ineffectual and all unable to deal with this problem, not in the text, have collaborated on the decision to temporarily close the Morcom Rose Garden. So basically, they all put their heads together and they say, we got one hell of a rock pile. Let's just close this party. And apparently, that should work. Now, do you think it did work?
No, because the thing was, Rose Garden was closed when we went into lockdown.
Mm-hmm. They had a soft closure, and then now they had a hard closure.
Right.
So then this is like, no, this is not City of Oakland telling you, you should stay out. Please stay out. This is the state saying you can't be here.
Yeah.
Now, it's not quite like they're going to give you a ticket or have park rangers, like, you know, come out and, you know, put a boot on your car for being there. It's not that bad, but it's still supposed to be a little bit more severe.
Sure.
Do you think it works?
No.
Of course not. So now, to calm all this growing fear and anxiety and ineffectuality, they're like, well, what can we do? People start going, well, can't we move Gerald? Like, what if we rehome Gerald? What if we do the sensible, reasonable thing and we take him and put him back in nature?
Like, to literally do that, not send him to a quote-unquote farm upstate.
No. There is not the, like, let's send him up to the puppy mill or puppy farm upstate.
Right.
No. So people are, you know, debating. There's a change.org petition. There is, like, you know, which, by the way, I would like to read you just one little clip from the change.org petition.
But has the change.org petition ever done anything? Has it ever actually caused change?
For the
everyone
people who
signs
them,
right? People sign them and they're like, we've got however many tens, hundreds of thousands of signatures, but it doesn't, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like eating your dessert before eating your dinner. It makes you feel better because you're like, oh, I did something I wanted. I feel good.
Strongly worded letter to the editor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So Here we go from Molly. Hi, everyone. I've drafted a copy of a petition, which I'll give to David after I've fact-checked it. He offered to start a change.org website. If anyone can contribute other ideas for how to get it circulating, let's hear them. So, you know, it's a nice positive mood. Now, let's see where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Amy. They aren't going to hurt the turkey. See my post above yours. Fish and Wildlife are on this and working with animal control to protect the turkey. What needs to happen is we need to give the turkey its space and not go to the Rose Garden. Molly's like, what? And she comes back, I hope that's true, Amy. I also heard from Yggdrasil Urban Wildlife Rescue that while Oakland Animal Services and DFW want to save him, but also that a council member applied for a permit to have him euthanized. So, also, relocating him seems to be illegal. The fact that it was mentioned was alarming. Let's circulate the petition. Hope that our peaceful natures resolve this, and by all means, give the turkey some social distancing. Smile emoji. Now, Pamela comes in, is like, Molly, that is completely untrue. The council office has said or done no such thing, nor does our office have any right to make those decisions. We have asked the administration to find a solution that protects everyone. Closing the park for now seems the best solution. So one turkey, people can't get along, nobody gets a Rose Garden.
Rumor, innuendo, accusations.
So the question then becomes, well, can CDFW remove the monster that's terrorizing Oakland so people can get back to their Rose Garden at the desperate times of the pandemic and finally get back to some sunlight? What's your bet on how well that plays out?
I think that in the end things, you know, I can see everyone has these good intentions, but as is, and it's not just isolated to Oakland, but I think that municipalities have some carry through, follow through issues. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, as you know, having worked in local government, you know that there are issues that are always going to complicate things that aren't so simple as we just need to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But CDFW, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, they try to do the right thing. They go, all we have to do is capture and rehome Gerald the turkey. Simple job. Not a problem.
Sure.
Of course, it becomes a problem. But this time, it's not because of people, it's because of Gerald. So, quote, in July 2020, CDFW staff made several attempts to capture the turkey, relying primarily on trapping using food attractive to turkeys. The park is full of accessible food, including evidence of human feeding, so this effort has been ended. CDFW has now authorized staff from Oakland Animal Services to continue the effort, with a plan for CDFW to transport the turkey to a local wild area that has minimal human access and no access to hunters. This effort is ongoing. Now, translation, look, we tried to catch your monster bird, but we can't do it when there are people working against us feeding them. So if you catch him, let us know. Otherwise, good luck, y'all. CDFW out.
You know that there are like some of those people who go and feed feral cats.
Yes.
We're probably throwing out the cat food.
Yes, exactly.
To, you know, Gerald and his harem of.
Well, we have a colony of feral cats like, in Oakland that is big. I walk past all the time and there are four different people who go over and feed this colony of cats. So just imagine when you have Gerald the turkey. I'd be willing to bet you there was more than four people mm-hmm. going over and trying to help him along with his animal ways by giving him cat food or whatever the heck they were giving him.
Guess.
Like maybe they're giving him birdseed. I don't know.
But, who knows? Popcorn.
Yeah. Just out there like popcorn.
Deli sandwiches. They're like, Gerald, what do you want? I'm going to go get quesadillas. Which one do you want?
Do you want some street tacos, Gerald?
The taco truck pulls up.
So now we have an effort to actually do something about the problem. We're no longer arguing on social media. We're no longer pointing fingers in bureaucratic manners. Now somebody is doing something and it fails. So they're like, well, okay, what are we going to do? Well, that's when old Royal Krieger, a volunteer Rosarian, he puts forth a theory that maybe this is not even Gerald.
It's an imposter.
Dun, dun, dun. So it turns out that perhaps there is a fake Gerald and a real Gerald, and everybody's been dealing with the fake Gerald, and that's why it's his evil twin who's been tormenting the people and not good old Gerald. He says there are two wild turkeys that he saw fight to the death, and that one of them, he found the dead body, appeared to be Gerald, except for there's one problem with his little theory. This Rosarian, he knows it's not Gerald because Gerald has an identifying tail plumage, and he's like, but it was missing. So he's putting forward a theory that he himself debunks as soon as he's talking about it.
So he just, I like to imagine him perched on a bench somewhere, sort of shielded behind a large floribunda rose bush, peering out and watching two turkeys fight to the death.
Yeah.
Was he upset by this? Was he a little turned on by that?
Was he betting on it with himself?
Was he taking pictures? I guess not, because he probably would have supplied those. But it wouldn't. I guess you wouldn't try and intervene in a turkey death match.
Not based on what we've seen from Gerald's moves.
Because they could both turn on
if
him.
Gerald was involved, and there's another equal Gerald.
Yeah,
I bet they're taking you down. I don't care if you're a full grown man who's a Rosarian and you got hedge clippers. They're coming for you.
Gerald and his twin Barreled.
Gerald, evil Barreled.
Evil Barreled. Did he have like a Van Dyke little and a must like?
Oh
a mustache?
My God, that would be amazing.
That's how you can tell.
That's how you know it's him. So apparently, fake Gerald is the one who dies, and the Rosarian, for whatever reason, just muddied the waters with this theory that people then got to argue about that really had no actual value. So now...
Well, you know, Rosarians are really good at spreading manure on the situation.
I'm going to give you that one.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we'll be right back after this break with the conclusion of what happens with Gerald the turkey who attacked Oakland.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now we have spent the spring and summer months in Oakland with a terrifying monster on the loose, rampaging around the Rose Garden, killing other turkeys, terrifying women and children, and somehow eluded capture from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. So this turkey, Gerald, is not just one bad mamma jamma, but the dude is also seemingly lucky. Like, it seems to be that if you have professional animal, I don't want to say hunters, but we'll say animal gatherers coming after him, he's able to evade them for months. So now what do you do? you've been arguing about, well, what's the right thing to do? They finally decide to do something about it, and it fails. And he's still terrorizing children and old women every day who come to the Rose Garden. So now, if you're an Oakland city leader, a civic leader, what's your call?
You got to call in the big guns, right?
Oh, you got to. So they find the perfect person, a turkey whisperer par excellence, and her name is Rebecca Dimitrik. She is the director of Wildlife Emergency Services, and she steps into this crazy challenge and says, I got this one. Everyone's like, really? Is it? Everybody has failed. What are you going to do different, Rebecca Dimitrik? And she's like, I think like the turkey. So she volunteers to enter the Morcom Rose Garden, aka Gerald the Turkey's lair of violence. And her plan is to just catch his eye. And if she can catch his eye, then she will work her magic by basically both challenging him and inviting him in closer by saying, you want some of this bird? And so here she is, slow walking around the park, dressed like an old woman, because that's her gambit. She's like, look, the bird loves going after old women. I'm coming in like an old woman. So she gets all dolled up in like a wig and a hat and old women clothes, starts creeping around the park, looking to incite Gerald.
Now,
do you think it works?
I think that if people knew about this and it got posted on Nextdoor, there would be accusations of ageism and that perhaps not all older women walk hunched over and have curly gray hair and use a walker. And how dare you? And I'm going to call the Gray Panthers, and then someone else will say, you know, you're the reason why the property values are so high and you don't pay taxes because of Prop 13. That's how that it'd take you three responses to get there.
Yeah, you get Prop 13 in three responses, yeah. No doubt. So basically, she's the hero of the moment by thinking outside of the box, but not just outside of the box. She thinks like a turkey. She
went undercover.
Yeah, exactly.
Deep cover.
She's like, what does he want? I will give him that. So Dimitrik is walking around in the park, all elderly and infirmed, the turkey's preferred victim, and Gerald sees her. He's like, oh, girl. And he's like all fired up. He starts slow walking over to her just like she expects. He gets close enough to basically present a challenge. He swells up. He puffs up his chest. He chuffs out his plumage. He locks eyes with Rebecca Dimitrik. He scratches the earth. He flashes his spirit of hatred and resilience. And then, as the feathers decorate the air with a vibrating intensity, and his 25-pound bulk is just sitting there tensing, waiting to attack, Rebecca Dimitrik takes a quiet moment to herself, and she says, quote, I saw his reaction to me, and I said, oh, you want a piece of this? I'll give it to you. Gerald draws closer and closer, but basically working on, I don't know, some kind of bird brain logic. As soon as he gets close enough, he decides, strike! And that's when he jumps at her, but she's ready for it. And Dimitrik no longer pretends to be an old woman. Gerald never sees the ruse coming. The fast hand of a perfectly physically fit young woman reaches out and grabs the turkey by the neck and reaches up into the sky with the bird, pulling him off the earth as his claws scratch at the empty air and his bird feathers are ruffling. But she holds on to that scruff of his neck and as he's gobbling, and she's like, look, you're mine now. And he's as helpless as a hatchling chick. So, boom, Rebecca Dimitrik is the hero. The five-month ordeal is done. Gerald the turkey has been liberated from the park.
Rebecca has him by the neck.
Yes.
Wow.
By the neck.
That was like a samurai movie or like a Bruce Lee montage. The tension of the two, these two very capable
And they're dance
entities
like
facing off.
It's like Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, just for a little fun fact, her husband was up on the hill. He watches this all go down because he works with her. He's her coworker, and he's like, you got this, baby.
Do you think he had a sniper rifle in case things went south? And then it would just be justifiable force. He'd be like, hey, you know, I don't know.
It's like, I had to stand her ground.
She's dressed as an old woman, but he's up on a ridge with like cargo pants, like tactical pants and a vest. And then you think he has a rifle with a sight, but it's actually just a camera with a telescopic lens. Because these are gentle folk.
Mm-hmm. It's like one of those cameras, but with the butt of the like a shotgun or a rifle up against his shoulder. So he's like looking through it. It looks like it's a gun, but it's actually a camera.
It was a t-shirt cannon.
Thunk, thunk.
Thunk.
So in October 22nd, the friends of Morcom Rose Garden take to Facebook to announce the good news. The turkey who has been attacking Rose Garden visitors has been captured and relocated on Thursday, October 22nd. Please return to the Rose Garden to enjoy remaining bloom of the season. Happy autumn. Now, where do you think the responses to that are going to be?
Oh, God.
Yep. So Gene comes back in. At last! ! Thank you! Thank you for finally humanely capturing and relocating him. I was traumatized by him, but still only wanted the best for him. I hope he enjoys his new home with other turkeys far away from the Rose Garden. Cheryl jumps in. I am happy, especially as the volunteers who make this space beautiful can be free of harm, as in the past. And then Barbara jumps in as well. Suspiciously close to Thanksgiving.
Oh, Barb.
Barb with the dark humor. Now, Joel, he comes in and he basically puts the cap on it with, to be honest, I'm sad. Not because I cared about Gerald, which, sorry to say, I didn't really. Not in a callous way, nor do I judge anyone for having an affinity or a grudge. My empathy just doesn't reach that far, perhaps. I will truly miss these posts and the vitriol hurled back and forth. I feel like contained therein were all of the secrets of humanity and coexistence. And if we were only smart enough to understand him, Gerald could have showed us how to love one another. But I don't know. The edibles kicked in, too. Maybe it's that.
Here, here, Joel.
So does Joel pretty much have the final word on the Gerald saga?
Joel gets it. Joel totally gets it. I love that. You know, that like, I too miss the posts and the vitriol hurled. Think about where we were, though, as a people.
As a people.
You know, it was a rough time.
Everyone was going through it.
Yeah. And we, on top of that, we had so much social unrest. So we had COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We had
husbands and wives having to be together all the time, even though they had never really done that since they were first dating. And let's just be real about that. There were some tensions for some of these couples who needed that Rose Garden.
Some people can't hang. Yeah. There were people who really needed their yoga time.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the people do yoga in the Rose Garden.
Oh, sure. And I'm sure some people needed to get their children out into the grass just to get out of the house.
Sure. And for a big portion of that section of the summer, we had in Oakland a curfew.
That's true.
If you'll recall. Mm-hmm. So fireworks, as usual.
Oh, that's right. Although, yeah, the fireworks being left on street corners by the CIA or whatever people thought.
That's right. You know, it was a crazy time.
It
crazy
really was.
Times.
Now, are you curious what the last and final chapter of this Gerald the Turkey's saga and how it ends?
Always. I'm curious in general about everything, but particular about this.
Well, I'm happy to tell you, I have a happy ending. So Gerald the Turkey, after he's captured by Rebecca Dimitrik's fast hands, he is taken over one town over to a place called Orinda. You know Orinda.
I do.
So Orinda is located just over the wrinkle of hills that are to the east of Oakland. And it is there in the sunny golden grass amongst a glade of oak trees that Gerald is brought in a cardboard box. And they then dump over the cardboard box. And they let Gerald out, and he looks at his former captors. He remembers fleetingly being a monster and the sounds of screams and terror, and then shakes it all off, gives his feathers one last little good ruffle, and then runs into the underbrush and disappears for all time.
Looking for cat food.
And that, my friends, is the end of the Gerald the Turkey
saga. Wow, Gerald. I love that.
Right? Isn't that a good one?
I love that.
It reveals a little bit about all of us and the friends we made along the way.
Totally. Oh, it does. It's like everyone involved had their notion of what wellness was,
mm-hmm.
and how they can go about implementing that wellness. And yeah. Now, I will say that in general, I always root for the animals in these stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the people who keep, you know, primates as pets and mm-hmm. then they rip the...
Until the chimpanzee rips her face
off?
Yeah,
the chimp rips her face off. And I'm like, I'm so proud of that chimp. So happy for him.
Like, freedom!
You did it. Like, that, you know, it's just, you don't keep wild animals. Let wild be wild.
Mm-hmm. Or acknowledge that we're all animals and that you then have to acknowledge the fact that we have territorial issues too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, And I think that's important too. You can say we're animals too. You got to give everybody some space. You got to give Gerald some space. You got to give each other some space. We all have to exist here. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to Gerald's motivations, if it was something to do with protecting a brood, or if it was like he just got a taste of what it could be like with fewer people.
Mm-hmm. The tiger who gets a taste of human blood.
Oh yeah, and then there's that idea of the bloodlust.
Yeah,
a taste of aged blood.
He likes that old blood
of children. He's just culling the herd.
I like to think that Gerald is the spirit of nature reminding us that wild is what we all are.
Yeah, I like that.
Essentially. So what do you think is our ridiculous takeaway here?
Oof. I think our ridiculous takeaway is, one, that social media can make anything completely outrageous and ridiculous. Because this could have been just a nice, quiet story of people contacting the authorities and saying, I got attacked by a turkey. That's the ridiculous thing, though. I mean, come on.
Also, I mean, just frankly, scientifically speaking, you got to know if you're going to mess with an animal descended from a T-Rex, it's not going to take your guff.
Totally.
I don't care if you're walking around Disneyland with a turkey leg. If that turkey leg was still attached to a living turkey, you wouldn't even have a chance, son.
True. Very true.
By the way, did you know that the turkey was going to be the national bird of America? Ben Franklin really wanted it.
Yeah, he was all about it.
I think he made the right call. I mean, we made the wrong call.
I think so.
Because Gerald the turkey sounds about as American as I can get.
100%.
Well, thank you for listening. I'm Zarin Burnett.
I'm Elizabeth Dutton.
You can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on both Twitter and Instagram. Got a tip for us about a ridiculous crime you'd like to hear about, or you want to share with us? You want to confess to a ridiculous crime? Please email us at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by Chief Director of Animal Rewilding, Dave Kustin. Research is by ornithologist par excellence, Marissa Brown. Our theme song is by Thomas Razorbeak Lee and Travis Flying Kicks Dutton. Executive producers are Ben, Franklin said we should pick the turkey as our national bird, Bolin, and Noel, look, he had some bad ideas, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.